nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, we are back with our second show of the day, and we'll talk about sunspots in a couple of hours with Ben of SuspiciousObservers.com. Right now, the gentleman to my immediate left is Dr. Richard Ulrey. Good morning, Dr. Ulrey.
Good morning, Patrick.
How you doing there, brother, up there in Hillman, Michigan, right?
Yeah, we're getting ready for a 0 below 0 day. It's supposed to drop down to 10 below zero for the next few days.
Is that right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you going to get any of that white global warming stuff coming down, anything like that?
Well, we've got our fair share of nice big snowflakes at 37 degrees.
Dr. Richard Ulrey's been a chiropractor for, this is your 39th year. He's got one of the largest health food stores ever in northern Michigan, right? In Hillman, Michigan, is that the city?
Yeah, Hillman, well, it's actually a village. There's a population right now of only about 550 of us.
Uh-huh.
Our county is only 9,000 strong with no traffic lights. It's kind of a
good for
isolated,
you.
Nice place to live and grow up your children.
And it's called Hillman's Health Food Store, right?
Yes, Hillman Health Food Store is the name of the town, and that's the name of the store.
Uh-huh. Dr. Richard Ulrey worked with Charles Walters. You were actually instrumental in that whole book, that classic, Minerals for the Genetic Code, that right?
Yep, Minerals for the Genetic Code was the first book that I worked on in my life with Chuck Walters. He was the founder of Acres USA.
Yeah.
Before he passed, we wrote another one called Minerals for Tumor Suppression, but we never published it. It was very technical, and it's actually outdated now, so I'm kind of glad we didn't publish it.
And Dr. Ulrey has a new book out that it's a pretty sexy thing. Pick that sucker up. I mean, it's 800 pages. Doctor, show us a cover. You got it right there?
Yes, I do.
Check this out. I mean, this is like, move it down a little bit. Down. Down, down. There you go. There you go. It's called Chiropractor's Metabolomic
Handbook of Cerebral Spinal Fluid.
Handbook of Cerebral. We're gonna talk about that. But let me just kick in with this whole cerebral spinal fluid thing is really a trip, and all the minerals. But I guess my main question is, I thought about this morning, Dr. Ulrey. If minerals are so important, and we know that they are, why don't we just take a really good mineral supplement? And there's a lot of them out there. And seaweeds and a lot of mineral-rich foods. And I mean, aren't we going to just get everything that we need? I mean, why do we have to know what's going on?
Well, Patrick, we're going into our third generation of a chemical used on all conventional farms called Roundup. And that's very problematic because Roundup is actually partly antibiotic, and it kills the bacteria in the soil that doesn't allow you to absorb minerals from your food. So hence, you've got to eat organically and then just hope that any Roundup that made it into your system didn't kill off any of your gut bacteria. And I see multiple people that have very poor metabolism, very poor absorption rates because they just don't have any good gut bacteria to break down the food to adequately nourish the human body.
Can we do a really good mineral supplements and things like that, Doc? And wouldn't we be taken care of if the food doesn't have it?
We can. What got my fascination, I was actually starting to write a book on milk. At that time, I was lecturing for Organic Valley Milk Company.
Really?
And I come across a database out of Calgary, Alberta. The University of Calgary was granted $900 million from the Canadian government, and they made one of the most sophisticated labs known to man.
Yeah.
And then they started analyzing all the fluids of the human body. And when I put in searching for minerals that they had in their database, I found out that they had done cerebral spinal fluid, and that fascinated me. Well, when I started researching the minerals, I found out that every mineral Chuck Walters and I wrote about for minerals for the genetic code, every mineral was found in the fluids of the brain. And that just, to me, was a real eye-opener.
Mm.
So I had to set out to write a database, this book called The Chiropractor's Metabolomic Handbook. I've mailed to the president of every chiropractic college in the world, and the letters are trickling in from these institutions.
Oh, really?
This is the first book that actually explains the movement of cerebral spinal fluid in relation to the human genome. And the human genome is roughly 21 to 22,000 genes strong. And the cerebral spinal fluid controls over 11,000 of these 21 to 22,000 genes, with minerals topping the list at 7,600 genes.
So let's see if I hear what you're saying. So the cerebral spinal fluid contains a lot of information and minerals that is controlling the 22,000 genes in the genome that can get expressed as a disease or not and stuff like that?
Correct. You have your genetic expression, and you also have your immune system. Now, it's generally thought of that your immune system is 80% everything that lives in your gut, your bowels, your bacteria,
mm-hmm.
your microbiome of your intestines, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And the 20% is actually the controlling aspect, and this is the fluid that's made in the brain, travels down and out every nerve, and this fluid is replenished every 8 hours. And it turns out they found 254 distinct components to cerebral spinal fluid. And when I found out that 36 minerals were in this fluid, it just absolutely fascinated me. So when I wrote the book, I lumped it together in chapters as to how many genes are affected by the fluids. And minerals are affecting 7,068 minerals. Oils and fats and fatty acids affects 1,500. Amino acid is over 1,000. Vitamins, 327. The next two chapters were man-made products and prescription drugs, and that beats out energy and sugar for the human body. And the list goes down to, there's quite a list of stuff that I've categorized. But I believe that just simply doing a hair mineral analysis and getting a handle on the 38 or 39 minerals that a hair test provides you, you can straighten out one-third your genetic code with a simple hair test and replenishing your body with the minerals that are deficient and getting the bad minerals out, such as lead and mercury and cadmium and aluminum. And
mm-hmm. You had me offered to, and we sent in my hair a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to come back and do a show with that, right?
And Patrick lets his hair down.
Patrick lets his hair down, and you'll walk us through of how you do that and how you work with people and all of that. So, but again, I'm still trying to understand. Say, in theory, we have some different supplementations, whether Drucker Labs, and you have some, and Wayne has multi-minerals and all kinds of different things to get these minerals in there. Can't we power on enough, Dr. Ulrey, where we don't have to go in and pick and choose and do extras?
We'd like not to. In a perfect working and intestinal tract, your gut bacteria does what? It makes vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamins are basically made of nitrogen in various ratios of nitrogen. If you look at the chemical composition of every vitamin, but folic acid, B vitamins are all nitrogen. Some of them have a cobalt, that would be B12. And vitamins do what? They allow you to absorb and utilize minerals. If your microbiome isn't working very good and you're not making vitamins, you cannot pick up and utilize the minerals.
And then you go back then to the glyphosates and the bacteria and all of that, right?
Yes, absolutely. And in some cases, when people's immune system are so bad, it's good to even do a compost testing and see what it is. What the exhaust pipe is leaking.
I think we published it. I'm not sure I have it right here in front of me, but there is a big study that just recently done, and they're showing that all kinds of prescription meds and things like that not just the antibiotics are screwing with the microbiome. That sounds right, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, if you take a look at some of the groundwater from septic tanks is leaking aspartame and sucralose into the Great Lakes. There's a lot of stuff we put through us that we just, I guess we're lucky to pass through that ends up within the environment. Hmm. And we're finding man-made chemicals, whether they're drugs or the forever chemicals like PFAS are becoming rampant. And actually, when I include minerals, I look at hydrogen and oxygen are minerals on the periodic table. So, of course, hydrogen and oxygen is water.
Mm-hmm.
And water accounts for 1,700 of these 7,000 genes. So when I'm dealing with people and I'm seeing some absolutely weird stuff in their hair, I'm like, what's in your water? I mean, you can pick up uranium in water and arsenic, aluminum, lead. I've seen water, depending on your geographic location, may have some of the minerals that's in your geographic location just by where you live. And it does shift from area of the country to area of the country.
Of course, if we clean up our water with the RO or distillation and things like that, we pretty much take all the minerals out, right, Doc?
Well, that's true. And I have people say, well, aren't you taking the good minerals out? I go, if we have to take the good minerals out to get the arsenic out or the lead out, then so be it. Then you're going to have to put some minerals back into you. But we all know that arsenic is causing a lot of problems. And all these bad minerals all have their traits. And when you have one mineral, you can have one problem. If you have two bad minerals, you don't have two problems. You have 100.
I see.
Because the two minerals will gang up on your pathways.
Just before we went on the air, it's February 12th, by the way, 2020. We're live with Dr. Richard Olry. We'll give you all his information of how to contact him and also how to get this book if you want. It's for a chiropractor's book. Do you think a layman would like to look this thing? Could we figure it out? Too geeky?
It's a reference book.
Yeah.
I mean, when you write a book that's 800 pages, it's certainly not a novel that you sit down and read.
Right.
If you do a hair test and you say, well, you know, what's this mineral? You don't know much about it. I've got what it is, how much you're supposed to have, if you're supposed to have it, and deficiencies and toxicities associated with it.
So are you feeling
that's
like...
That's every compound. There's a lot of stuff in the body that can really bother it. And it turns out that cerebral spinal fluid is almost a dumping ground for hundreds of compounds that the body doesn't want into any of the organs. And then it's supposed to leak it slowly out the lymphatic system and put it into your hair to be shed.
Wow.
That's... An example of that is my friend, Dr. David Brownstein. A lot of people know that he's a thyroid man. And he was finding that when he was putting people on iodine, they were getting horribly sick. And when he linked it to bromine in the body, and I distinctly remember his speeches on that. And when I got the database pretty well organized, I found out that this is the dumping ground for bromine is in the cerebral spinal fluid. So when David was giving people iodine, it was causing the brain to secrete the bromine out of the cerebral spinal fluid about as fast and about as much as iodine they were putting in. And the blood levels of bromine were going up to lethal levels. It was coming out so fast, and it was making people horribly sick when they started taking iodine. So I called David up. I says, hey, where's that bromine stored at? He says, well, wherever halogen is. And I kind of laughed. I said, you don't really know. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, it's cerebral spinal fluid. And the body has a couple hundred compounds that are in cerebral spinal fluid because it can be stored where it doesn't react with anything else, and it can slowly be shed out the hair.
So the cerebral spinal fluid it collects an excess of things and, in theory, goes out through the lymph, and then
it goes out your lymph system.
And then it'll come out the hair?
It'll come out the hair. That's why we're using hair tissue analysis to get a handle on the minerals of the human body. Up until 3 years ago, they never thought that the cerebral spinal fluid was connected to the lymphatics. And now that man's got smart enough to actually figure out the test, and indeed, the cerebral spinal fluid leaks into the lymphatics right in the cervical region, and it's very close to the back of your head. So we're taking hair off the back of the head just to get a handle on what the brain is excreting in terms of minerals. There are other things you can test for. But right now, the big testing that I'm involved with, it would be just looking at the mineral, the complexity of the minerals.
So like when my test gets back soon and we do a show on it and we'll teach people how you do all this and the balancing, how do you know whether stuff is too much is coming out, so I got arsenic or something, or it's too much is in the body? I don't understand that.
Well, there are times that I can look at a hair test and I can say, this looks pretty good. You don't have hardly any heavy metals, or so we think. But then you look at the rest of the hair test and you find out that these people are in malabsorption for long periods of time and they're not excreting hardly any minerals, and it makes it look like they're actually starving.
Wow.
When we start to change the digestive tract and get them on the good minerals, the next hair test looks like a disaster because all of a sudden the heavy metals will start being excreted. And I've seen what looks like a good hair test, and people go, what happened to me? And I says, we turned on the detoxification pathways. Many times we'll have a high mercury content because the fillings in their mouth have been leaching for years and years. And we'll go after that mercury, and yes, we'll see the mercury go down, but lead, barium, and cadmium jump through the roof as the detoxification process turns on. And we can then track how these numbers are jumping up, and then we just keep detoxifying until everything goes back to a normal range.
And these detoxification, this all happens because we have the right bacteria in the gut?
We are definitely trying to make the gut bacteria the top priority for assimilation of our foods, and the kidneys, the liver, and the bladder, and the gallbladder are our major excretion pathways. Most of the bad metals have an electrical charge of positive one, and that would be cadmium, lead, mercury, beryllium, and barium. And they get attached to another mineral called selenium at a 1-to-1 ratio. And the body has to gear up the production of glutathione as so it can grab it and attach to some fatty omega-3s or 6s for excretion. So it's a time-consuming process. And you got to make sure that you don't detoxify people too quick, as much as they say, I want it done now, or
right.
I want it done tomorrow. You don't necessarily want to feel the effects of detoxification. So we try to drag it out over a period of time so that people's lives don't get disrupted from suddenly having a big detox. That can happen, particularly with arsenic. If you got arsenic levels are elevated, you can bet that there's a lot more arsenic in the body. And if you detoxify them too fast, their fingernails and toenails fall off. And that gets people pretty upset.
That's not good. We are streaming live with Dr. Richard Ulrey. It's February 12th, 2020. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. You can participate in the show with a question or a comment. Pretty geeky stuff, but great fun, huh? Just email me, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Or you can put some comments there, YouTube and also Facebook. Sharon's checking out YouTube and she gets questions there. And Facebook, you can do it right in the comment section. So this cerebral spinal fluid, if we have things messed up in the upper cervical, the mouth of God area, is that C1, 2, 3, that kind of stuff? Is that blocking the flow of this fluid? Is that what's causing problems for people?
Very good question, Patrick, because most people know we have a blood pressure, and it's common knowledge, our blood pressure, we'd like it around 120 over 80.
Right.
If you add those two numbers together and divide by two, we carry basically 100 pounds pressure per square inch.
Oh.
Sure, it fluctuates up and down. But that fluid, as it works through the human body, once it gets to the brain, the cerebral spinal fluid only operates at 20 pounds PSI. And there's 64 nerves in the spine. This is what chiropractors make a living at doing, is moving vertebrae and getting this fluid to flow.
Hmm.
Once that fluid is flowing, then the genetic expression of all the feeds from the spine to the organs, to anywhere in the body for that matter, can become more enhanced, and genetic expression can occur much better. So the number one vertebrae that chiropractor was founded on was adjusting the skull-spine relationship, and that's probably the one that causes the most amount of problems, just not letting the fluid out of the brain. And anybody that's ever had a headache knows what that pressure can be, and you go get your neck adjusted, and you know instantly, just as fast as it goes in, and you sit up, and you go, yep, the pressure's gone, thank you very much. And these fluids, as fast as they start flowing, the human body recognizes the changes in these barometric pressures through our system.
Wow.
You've got a fluid that's got 254 distinct things in it, controlling, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10,000 genes. You got to give it a little time. You can unpinch a nerve that's been pinched for 4 years, and it might take a month for the body to heal up. But that genetic expression from that pinched nerve was lost, and then it gets restored.
Wow,
in today's day and age, with our food chain being radically manipulated to some extent, and it's just absolutely missing minerals, missing a lot of minerals, we have to then go to the extent to do testing to find out where our mineral status is, and then go about putting minerals back into the system.
When you do you still work hands-on with people as a chiropractor?
Oh, I 3 days a week. I start at 8 in the morning and I go to 6 at night. That's how I make a living. Wednesdays I do nutritional consults. Fridays I have Veterans Friday, where I just see the vets of any war.
Good for you.
That's quite an interesting crowd.
What techniques do you use to look at this up? And what C's numbers are there? Are they 1, 2, 3, 4? Is that, do I have that right? In the upper cervical?
Well, yeah, there's 7 cervicals. Every chiropractor develops their own technique. So,
right.
I mean, I can say I like to use the sacral occipital technique. I like the word diversified. There's the kinesiology aspect. You've got the people that only move the first vertebrae, the nuca people. They're all valid because energy equals mass times the speed of light. And as soon as a chiropractor is applying energy to the spine, it changes the molecular structure of the human being they're putting their hands on at the speed of light. Now, we're dealing with weak energy, not strong energy like the stuff going through the circuits and the walls in your computer screen. We're dealing with the weak magnetic energy that could be viewed as the acupuncture meridians. If you're so trained in the Eastern philosophy, maybe you can see colors around people and you can spot auras and stuff like that. We're dealing with the weak magnetic energy. And what generates all this weak magnetic energy are the trace minerals we find in the human body. Hmm. And I believe the last time we were on, we talked for about 2 hours of the book Minerals for Acupuncture Meridians,
yeah,
which is on its third edition now, which I laid out all the subatomic particles and minerals and what time of day they regenerate in relation to the acupuncture meridians.
That's pretty geeky. Whew. Wow.
Yeah.
What a geek you are. That's great stuff. Dr. Richard Olry's with us, OneRadioNetwork.com. Man, holy cow, how is it possible that we evolved like this, over kabillions of years, to have all this interconnectedness with information and light? And man, you just can't make this stuff up, can you? You just can't.
To me, light is energy, frequencies, mineral is frequencies. The human body has like a piano that I play every day, and every different vertebrae is a different tone of music. And when you put your hands on the spine and you're playing that, you just instinctively know where the energy is built up or where there's a deficiency. Now, when I get stuck, I like technology. I like x-rays. I read CAT scans. I read MRIs because there's things that happen to the human body. I read an article today that it says a postmenopausal woman on vitamin D deficiency will experience accelerated degeneration of her low back disc.
Wow.
I mean, that's our link to the sunshine. And if you don't have enough sunshine, you're not making vitamin D, your spine will go into a state of deterioration.
Yeah.
And I believe every mineral has its part. And I believe we have a bacteria in our gut for every mineral or combination of minerals, or at least we're supposed to, so that our bodies could be self-sustaining. But our world we live in is so fragmented and everything is so concentrated that it's worthy of trying to find out if a person's been exposed to lead, such as myself. I only quit smoking 30 years ago, but I still excrete cadmium in my hair from not smoking over 30 years.
Really?
So some of these minerals take a while to get out. It's not like doing a Tylenol and 20 minutes later you see the results.
Mm-hmm.
This detoxification and rebuilding takes time.
Can we get some of the overused or the over, well, whatever, more, well, the overloaded minerals that we don't need, can they come out in the skin with sweating and saunas and stuff too? Do they come out?
Well, that's the beauty of the skin. It's the largest organ in the body, and it is definitely an organ of detoxification. On a personal basis, I had something wrong with the secretions in my armpit. and I sent it out. And this is what prompted me to stop smoking cigarettes, because it was pure cadmium. Every different inch of the body has a different microbiome, and it probably is different areas to release stuff. I've seen people that have had uranium toxicity end up with rashes all over their chest. And when we analyzed the hair cut away from the rashes, that's where the body was ridding the uranium. So the skin is definitely an organ of excretion. We know when people's bowels are very toxic, because then we can smell the body, the bacteria that's abnormal in the gut. You know, people just have that type of odor that, you know, don't necessarily want to sit next to in church very long, because we are a walking bag of bacteria, and we've got good bacteria, and we try to cultivate good bacteria, but sometimes bad things happen to us.
Yeah.
I've got a case right now. Not only she has the Epstein-Barr virus, she also has Q fever, and try to find literature on Q fever. So you just go back to the basics, do a stool test, find out what bacteria are missing, put the good bacteria in, do the hair test, straighten out the minerals to revitalize people's genetic codes.
You've had I know we talked in the past, and you've had a good experience using Living Streams Wayne's products, and you're still using those?
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, Wayne's on the other side looking down now. But his products are probably superior to none that I'm aware of.
Really?
Live bacteria. He's got fantastic formulas.
Yeah, really does.
So I thought I'd share something, Patrick, that I don't think I've talked too much about, and that would be the ability to regenerate your DNA code, since everything is genes and genetics. At the end of all of our chromosomes, we have a little cap called the telomere.
Yeah, can we save that for a second? I got to do a little break here, okay?
Sure.
So we'll dig right into telomeres. Dr. Olbry also has some information about the coronavirus and arsenic and rice in China, which is pretty geeky when you think about that kind of a connection. What Charles, Dr. Olbry was talking about was Wayne's products. You'll see here Living Streams, and as Dr. Olbry said, Wayne went over to the other side. He was just dealing with some long-term diabetes kind of things. And Wayne, you know, kind of, he was a real focused, kind of hardhead kind of guy, and he never really dealt with it. And it just kind of took him out, 2, 3, 4 months ago. But his family is there. They've been involved with the company for a long time, and they have all the formulas. They have all the contacts and how to make them, and they're still going strong. And it's a great company. We'll ask Dr. Olbry sometime during this show of what he would recommend for people, which ones he would, get you started with, and maybe how to take them, because he has a lot of experience with Wayne's products. But you can click and order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com, and it is Living Streams. And I think they have a little deal now where you can, if you order 3 products, you get a 10% deal. And there's also a number there. Marilyn, who works with the company, when you click on through our site, and if you have questions, specific questions that we can't deal with on the air, and not allowed to say a lot of stuff, as you know how that is with the FDNA and all that, Marilyn can help you, and then you can order through the website if she recommends some things that you think would be viable for you. So Living Streams, OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously, with the highly credentialed Dr. Thomas Levy, he argues because the literature shows that oxidation is the cause of disease.
But the whole point is the location, the concentration, the duration, the distribution of oxidized biomolecules determines 100% of all diseases. And so that's why I say oxidative stress doesn't cause disease. Oxidation is disease.
Is disease.
If there's no oxidized biomolecules, you don't have a toxin. The toxic effect is oxidation of biomolecules. That's the entirety of it.
And by the grace of God, several months ago, George Wiseman said this about hydrogen.
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it.
So now it makes sense why George was able to say this back in August 2019. with such conviction.
The body accepts that gas and uses it to heal everything. It's like the fountain of youth. It's astonishing the amount of ailments. In fact, in scientific studies, and they have over 1,000 scientific studies now, they are showing that it either helps the body heal directly or indirectly from virtually every ailment that ails any water-based life form.
Okay, I'm sold. And I was able to get one a couple of months ago, thanks to your support. It's called the AquaCure Hydrogen Machine. Breathe the gas and bubble the water. There's a promo code ONERADIO for 10% discount. I think a great investment for you, knowing what we know now. On OneRadioNetwork.com. And what's also very cool is that he has a lifetime warranty on this machine. And I think he's on about the third or fourth version over the last 30 years. George Wiseman probably knows more about hydrogen than anybody on the planet at this point. And he has a lifetime warranty. And then a one-year, check this out, a one-year money-back, no questions asked, if you don't like it, up to a year, if you get one of these machines. And after 6 months, you say, oh, man, I don't like this thing. Get your money back. Kind of pricey to start, $24.99, but they're the real deal. He has safety features that are unprecedented. There's some cheaper hydrogen machines out there. George says that he thinks he has the best one. He doesn't talk negatively about any of them. He tries to help other hydrogen machine makers. You get a less expensive one, but you're not going to get the double redundancy safety features. And hydrogen is a very powerful element, as you know. I mean, H-bombs and hydrogen buses and whatever, hydrogen cars. So you got to be careful with it, but he's got safety features on it. So if it gets lower too much or anything like that, it just shuts off and does an alarm, and pretty cool. Anti-aging, George looks great. And so this cool thing, if you like to get more information about my experiences with it, I talk about it, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. And you can go to the website, through our website, use promo code ONERADIO, promo code ONERADIO, and get yourself 10% off hydrogen. Yeah, breathe the gas and drink the water.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
I don't know what kind of water Dr. Richard Ulrey's drinking, but I want some because this guy's brain is on overdrive. I don't know how you remember all this stuff. It's like, are you always a geeky kind of health guy even before a chiropractor?
Well, when I was in sixth grade, I was carrying around a bottle of Excedrin because I had severe headaches and I was diagnosed as hypoglycemic, which meant I had to start reading labels when I was 13. And I started realizing that if you can't read the label, you probably shouldn't eat it. And I just drove everybody nuts. And they were so glad to see me move out and go off to chiropractic college. Now I come back and I've spent the last 40 years explaining what I had learned as a young man. Now, That source of hydrogen on your AquaCure Aqua hydrogen machine,
right?
In the book, Acupuncture Meridians, I've got hydrogen placed at the level of the stomach connecting to the large intestine. And we all know that you have to have hydrochloric acid in your stomach, and that's hydrogen chloride. When I was going to start talking about telomeres, if you look at a chromosome as a source of energy, the battery that makes the chromosome work is the telomere. So every time a chromosome needs to discharge, it grabs energy from the telomere, and your body can regenerate the telomeres by activating a gene called, strangely enough, reverse telomerase. The University of Arizona released a paper 2 years ago, coming right up. It'll be 2 years and 5 days. It said, we now know the holy grail of telomere regeneration. And to my amazement, they put the genetic sequence in the paper. And the genetic sequence is only 6 letters. And when I converted those 6 letters, it turned out to be chlorine and sulfur.
Chlorine and sulfur, my goodness.
Yeah, so I sat there going, okay, what's the implications of chlorine? Well, there's 425 genes that are used by the body in chloride. And your stomach makes chloride from the chief cells and releases hydrogen from the parietal cells. And then the hydrogen and the chloride meet together in the stomach and it makes hydrochloric acid. Now, how does that relate to your immune system?
Yeah.
Well, the only bacteria that should be living in your gut, which is obviously lower than your stomach, should be bacteria that can survive in hydrochloric acid. So to keep all the bad bacteria of life out of your system, you need a really good working stomach to break down your proteins and get the bacteria ready to digest your food so you can make vitamins to absorb minerals and oils from your food. Now, the second part of that equation is sulfur. Now, sulfur is maybe the fifth most abundant mineral in the human body, and it has far-reaching implications. Sulfur is found in vitamin B2, vitamin B7, an oil called alpha-lipoic acid. It's found in glutathione that selenium needs to detoxify heavy metals. It's found in cysteine, which is an amino acid, and methionine. These are called sulfur-bearing amino acids. It's found in taurine. And there are compounds found in mushrooms that have different sulfurs, and your garlics and your onions are all full of sulfur.
Hmm.
So these minerals, when they're deficient, means your proteins don't work, maybe your oils don't work, and you don't have glutathione being made. So sulfur is so critical. And relating that to the virus in China.
Yeah, let me stop you there for a second. And isn't it interesting that people like Dr. Seneff, who we've had on, I'm sure you know, has talked about the whole GMO, glyphosate, and the sulfur cycle. So that's pretty curious, too, how it's screwing up the sulfur cycle, the GMOs, right?
The unfortunate thing was a friend of mine, Dr. Don Huber,
yeah,
had some data where they had taken, and they had a field that had never been planted before. They planted a half a bag of alfalfa, harvested it, put one layer of Roundup in it, and then grew the other half of the bag of alfalfa seeds the next year. And when they compared the mineral content from one year to the next with only a single application, every mineral was deficient from 17% to 52%.
Whoa.
And the 52% was the sulfur deficiency.
Interesting. What's that about, Doc?
Well, it's just what happens when you put a chelating antibiotic in the soil.
Yeah.
That is killing the bacteria, so plants cannot absorb minerals.
That's as simple as that. So let's go back to the tummy before we go to arsenic and rice and China coronavirus. What kind of things are in the stomach and that they could get short of or long of that we could think about if our little tummies aren't happening? What's down in there? I thought it was just kind of like really acid and just a bunch of acid and that's it, no?
Well, the acid has to activate chemicals that were made in your pancreas. You have pancreas digestive enzymes to help break down. If you don't have enough acid, the pancreas can secrete the chemicals, but the chemicals don't get activated without the acid. And without certain activation factors, then that information that goes from the stomach to the intestine is lost and certain bacteria don't grow.
Mm.
Now, one of Wayne's products is called BIFO. The BIFO factor,
right.
The bifobacterium, those are the bacteria that are dependent upon pancreatic amylase. So if you don't have enough acids to break down your pancreas digestive enzymes, when you do a stool test, you just won't see any bifobacteria there. And the bifobacteria are the bacteria that capture selenium and turn it into the 21st amino acid called the selenocysteine. So again, the vitamins are made by the bacteria, and if you don't have a big variety and, you know, known groups of bacteria, you go into what's basically a state of selective starvation. You may eat good food, but you may be pooping really good food too that just doesn't get digested. It may ferment more than it digests, Lord knows.
Yeah, and can you test on what's going on down there? Is there a way to know?
Oh, yeah. There's doctor's data. There's quite a few places out there that will do stool sample testing. And when you're in a town of 500 in a county of 9,000, people contact me. They've been to a lot of different places, and I'm just trying to fill in what got missed. And when I look over some of these dreaded things that people have, and I go, well, where's your hair test? And they go, well, what do you mean a hair test? I go, well, you know, we can look at 36, 37 minerals and get a handle on about one-third your genetic code. We don't have a hair test. And I go, how about a stool test to see what your immune system is kicking out? Because if 80% of your immune system can be tested in the toilet, you better make sure you got a good variety of bacteria. And the byproduct elimination products that you can pick up in various tests. So a lot can be gained from that when the standard blood test and the CAT scans and the MRIs and people are just scratching their heads, passing out pills to make you feel better that don't do anything to get rid of the problem or fix any problems.
And the stool test that you do with patients, they tell you a lot, give you a lot of information.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't necessarily jump to a stool test right away. I usually start with the hair test because I'm dealing with the human spine and I'm dealing with a fluid that's maybe a quarter of an inch away from my hands at any given time you're working on somebody. I like to know the composition of that fluid and how it affects the genetic expression of a human being that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Richard Ulrey is with us. Here's a little thing on Facebook. During one of Dr. Huber's presentations, he showed the intestines of a GMO pig versus a non-GMO pig. The scientists remarked that the GMO-fed pig intestines were so red and inflamed that it resembled snot more than functioning tissue. Here's a slide, and he sends a link. Wow.
Yeah, the animals that are fed a nutritionless diet don't make it very long walking this earth before they're put down. And we're slaughtering mostly sick animals and then presenting it to the public for consumption. And these animals are just different. They just don't have the minerals. It's not a healthy way to eat.
Do you remember Poutse?
No.
The GMO guy in Europe about 10 years ago, that he came up with how dangerous GMOs were maybe 10, 15 years ago, and boy, he was virtually tortured and, you know, drugged off to the gulags for it. We interviewed him, and we're going to play that interview tomorrow in one of our archives that we play on Thursday. It's pretty cool stuff. Armand Poutse, I think, is his full name. Diana
well, I
said,
think when all these lawsuits are over, Patrick, when
I'm sorry,
when there's all this law, you know, 50,000-60,000 lawsuits against Monsanto, and it starts making the news when they have $2.2 billion jury verdicts.
Right.
That doesn't mean people are going to get the money, but when people are coming in and it's making the news, that last $2.2 billion brought more conversation to Roundup into the treatment rooms than anything I've seen so far, because they say, well, you've been saying that for 10 years or 15 years. And I might go, yeah, I mean, I wasn't wrong either. But when they start hearing these type of dollars out there, then they start thinking a little bit more about their own health when they see these lawsuits get nailed appropriately on the head.
We've also seen that some of the big shareholders of Bayer, they're wanting this whole deal to turn around. I don't know if you can do that. And say, what did we pay $60 billion for Monsanto for? And we just got a big bunch of trouble. I don't know if that's possible.
Well, I had read something where they had put about $200 million away.
Yeah.
And they had the opportunity to lump all these into one big lawsuit and then just try to settle them. And they decided to go battle it one at a time.
Right.
And that works towards the people that are actually battling it one at a time, because every different trial, something new is brought into the picture, whether it's a hidden email or some obscure research or, I mean, what I read today out of Germany is that there's a group of Europeans that are trying to get the latest Roundup approval dismissed because they substituted the animals that died with live animals and just called it inflammation, even though the animals had passed, and they just chose to alter the figures, which, you know, how accurate some of the stuff is you read. But I think that the handwriting's on the wall, and the organic industry itself is the fastest growing food industry in the United States. And it's going to continue to be that as more and more awareness comes out about, you know, the health effects and people that start understanding, you know, hey, I don't think I want to die at 50. I'd like to live at least 85 or 90 with good quality life. And the only way you're going to do that is to have a good mineralized body. And the testing is available to people. There are more and more people all the time out there that are, you know, getting trained in it and utilizing it.
Sure. Any specific things that you've come across or are playing with to help the body to get rid of the glyphos? People say good sulfur helps with that. Not sure.
Well, is there just one individual thing that gets rid of it?
Probably not.
The key molecule in the glyphosate is a glycine molecule.
Glycine.
And glycine is attached to oxygen, so you're going to run everything through the kidneys. And they have indeed, they know exactly what chemicals will be in the urine if you're processing glyphosate. Now, the glyphosate, the F-A-T-E, is actually a phosphorus molecule. And phosphorus in the human body is primarily run through the mitochondria. That's that little organ with a genetic code of its own in every cell. And what tells that mitochondria how to work is kind of a twofold thing in my mind. Number one, iodine. Iodine's got to be critical as a hormone system because the energy is produced at the direction of the thyroid. And number two, there's a trace mineral called boron. And in plants, boron is critical. Plants have a double-celled wall, and the outer-celled wall uses basically pectin and boron to create its second structure so that it can be a tree that stands up without blowing down unless it hits a hurricane or something. Well, the double-celled wall in the human body is actually the mitochondria, and the mitochondria has got to have good oils, and it's got to have some good trace minerals to make it work. So I look at iodine and boron as two very important minerals that's needed for human health in relation to glyphosate toxicity.
And of course,
a dose of selenium doesn't hurt anybody as long as it's a good organic source.
And that's why you created your little supplement called Grand Unified. And you all, if you want to buy that, do you guys ship it around the country?
Yeah, we ship it. We ship a lot of it around the country. We send some of it out of the country. That was based on gravity, magnetism, weak and strong electrical forces. And this is known by the physicists as the Grand Unified Theory of Everything. And I read a lot about that, and I looked at DNA as being the vehicle of living for all life on Earth is this genetic code, and it has to follow some of the laws of physics, if not all the laws of physics. And there's really no research out there that describes how DNA follows the laws of physics. And when I applied some of these laws to the periodic table I work with, which includes a lot of the all the subatomic particles, I come up with the four most important minerals being iodine, selenium, boron, magnesium. And I recently, in the past 2 years, we added some taurine because we thought maybe a little sulfur would make the product better. And indeed, that's what we now have called the Grand Unified Mineral Complex, based after the Grand Unified Theory of Everything.
That's great. If you want to get some, go to HillmanHealthFoods.com. You'll see it right there, Dr. Ulrey's Grand Unified. What a great name. And that's got the borane, iodine, selenium, magnesium?
Yep. And we got some organic vitamin C and some vitamin D in there as well.
Cool. If you'd like.
Now, the magnesium is not necessarily a replacement magnesium. You've got to move those three critical minerals, boron, selenium, and iodine, from the small intestine to the liver. So it's more of a carrier molecule as opposed to being a complete magnesium. The body needs a lot more magnesium on a daily basis than I have in there. And we kept the magnesium low because some people have adequate magnesium and it gives them loose bowels, and we didn't want to have a product that would cause people to have loose bowels.
Back to the spinal fluid. So how does this fluid circulate? Does it go to the brain and down the spine? And then how does it circulate? What's the connection up back around the loop?
Well, in the third and fourth area of the brain called ventricles, you have an area where the blood the blood goes through it, and out of that, it extracts the necessary fluid to be in the cerebral spinal fluid. And this is replaced every 8 hours. And then it travels with every breath. And this is why people that see sacral occipital techniques or do yoga or basically anything that would help promote the flow of this fluid, you're a lot healthier. and people that have injuries and traumas and their spines get basically, you know, injured or they get jammed and the vertebrae get stuck and that fluid quits flowing out the nerves. It causes an immediate source of inflammation and pain and then muscle guarding. So as chiropractors, we release this fluid and let this fluid start to flow and sit back and watch the body heal itself.
It'll do it.
Well, the body's not healing itself and degenerative sets in, well, then you got to see if you're missing minerals. If you're missing minerals, then you're something's wrong with your diet. And a lot of people, you're trying to find that sliver that's causing things to fester. And these heavy colas like right now, half the wine and most of the beer on the market have got Roundup in it. These PFAS chemicals that are forever, they're in a lot of places in water. So I do a lot of water testing just to make sure that what you're drinking is water. And if not, we have to line up filtration so that you are drinking good water. And never hurts to throw some hydrogen in there and oxidize it. And, you know, that water machine, and he mentioned in the article, he says, well, basically, you know, if you didn't have oxidation, you wouldn't have damage.
Right.
Then comes the word antioxidant.
Yes.
Now, you could look at a lot of vitamins and different substances that they call antioxidants, but the single most important antioxidant in the human body is selenium.
Selenium.
It's the mother of all antioxidants. Your brain has 22 genes to just make the brain run. And when they give test animals complete selenium deprivation, every bit of the selenium in the body was transferred to the brain to keep the brain at optimal levels for clear thinking and clear reasoning.
What are some high selenium foods off the top of your old big
Brazil
brain?
By far, Brazil nuts top the list.
Brazil nuts, yeah.
The lady was, somebody came in and said, Mrs. Smith had a stroke. I go, oh, really? Is she in the nursing home down the street? And she goes, yes, I am. So the first thing I did is when I got off work, I grabbed a bag of Brazil nuts from the health food store, walked in and says, here, I think you should eat one of these every day.
So you could actually get a pretty good hit of selenium, just a few Brazil nuts.
One Brazil nut roughly equals one selenium pill. And the faster you can get these Brazil nuts into people that have had a stroke, the faster you can get their brain to start to heal. There's a lot of reasons that people get strokes, but there's a direct relationship to the intensity and the severity of a stroke to the selenium levels of the human body.
We've seen some research and some literature showing that they're in some conventional kind of places, Mayo Clinic and stuff, using breathing the hydrogen, Brown's gas, for stroke victims and helping them to, I don't know, what could be going on there?
Well, the human body, these cells are like a computer, and they have a memory stick. So if you have a human brain cell that gets damaged, when the new cell grows in to replace it, that memory stick can get transferred to the old cell, but you have to have selenium to do it. So if they're really low selenium, all them new brain cells that are being made following a stroke have to be retrained. And if you can transfer the data imprints through selenium, then you end up with far, far less permanent damage to the brain. And although the brain may wall off an area, the brain's got something called plasticity, where the electrical inputs just reroute around it. And to reroute and to make these new neurons, the trace mineral selenium is involved.
So how are the hydrogen playing with the selenium when they're breathing the hydrogen gas for the stroke people? Is it just helping the selenium to get in?
It's probably grabbing a hold of oxygen. And bonding angle between hydrogens and oxygen can vary from 96 to 115 degrees. What I'm saying is if you have two hydrogen and one oxygen attached, there's like a V, and that V could be a small V or a really big V. And when you're getting really good efficiency, your bonding angle gets up to 110, 112 degrees versus a very low energy level of, say, 96 or 97. It has to be doing something. Plus, there are some people that think that the Krebs cycle may give us energy, but the backbone to energy may be hydrogen in the human body.
It's
the most abundant mineral in the universe.
In the universe, yeah. That's trippy. Dr. Richard Ulrey is here if you care to join us in the time we have remaining, which is a little bit substantial. A lot of things we're going to talk about. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com or do a comment on Facebook. We're streaming live. So, where was I going to go? Oh, here's one. Can Dr. Ulrey explain which mineral deficiencies are related to hair loss and which supplements could be used topically and internally to restore normal hair growth?
That's kind of a broad question.
Mm.
Because there are, okay, so the number one mineral that you're going to immediately think of with hair loss is a thyroid. And I ask this question to women 100 to 1 because they'll come in and they're gaining weight and they don't know why. And their short-term memory is going away. And when they put their head back, their thyroids are swelled. And I'll say, you're losing your hair. And they go, yeah, by the handfuls.
Yeah.
And I'll look at the husband and I say, do you have to clean the shower? And they go, yeah, I'm cleaning the shower a lot. There's a lot of hair in there. So that immediately thinks that you have a thyroid problem. And if you don't have a thyroid problem triggering that, then you're deficient in sulfur. So you have to take vitamin B7, biotin. Those are the two biggest reasons that you would see people losing hair. And if you're talking male pattern baldness, starting at the crown of your head, these are people that have basically been selenium deficient for a long time in their life.
Wow, that's amazing. Selenium.
Selenium.
You had mentioned before we go on the air that you've seen that you believe some kind of connection with the coronavirus, China, and arsenic and rice. Talk a bit about that. I found that fascinating.
Well, I found it fascinating too. I was sitting here trying to figure out these genetic sequences, and there was a paper that came out of China published in a very prestigious magazine that was forced to withdraw it due to political pressure placed on it by some organizations, maybe the WHO organization. But then the next day, the Indian government came out and said that the best way to prevent the coronavirus from getting into you is to use a homeopathy medicine called Arsenium Albumin 30. So this was a homeopathy remedy being told to take by a government with millions and millions of people that live in the country.
Arsenium, you mean a homeopathic remedy to put take arsenic out?
Yeah, they're saying that the arsenic may be a fueling factor in this. Now, when I heard that, half the population on Earth eats rice.
Yes.
And then if arsenic is in the ground, it's going to be attracted to rice just like water to a sponge. And when you look at the minerals that you need to get arsenic out of your system, with selenium being one of them, China doesn't have selenium in their soil. They've got diseases named after people that they found with problems with selenium deficiency. And if there is any arsenic in these fields, and when you're doing hair testing and you see these arsenic levels really high, if you can't find it in their drinking water, you find out that they're big rice eaters.
Oh.
So if this virus is going to go through an entire society that lives on rice, in the areas of the country that would have higher arsenic levels than others, you're going to see this virus be more virulent.
Oh, that's pretty trippy. And the Indian government came up with that. And is this kind of a homeopathic remedy available to our listeners, do you think? Do you know?
Well, I'm sure it is. If there's anything left, I mean, after this came out, first thing I did is went into my store and says, I'll take one of those, please.
You mean you're talking about the little blue tube things?
Little blue tube things called Arsenium Albumin. The strength was 30X is what the Indian government is telling the Indian residents to take.
And that gets arsenic out.
Yeah, it loosens it up and start. Yeah, well, technically that's how homeopathy is supposed to work. But I thought it was interesting that a government the size of India would make that recommendation.
With a billion, or I don't know where they have 2 billion.
A lot
of people. Well,
unfortunately, you can predict something. Okay, so the largest arsenic basin in the world, it's in the drinking water at the direction of WHO. 35 years ago is Bangladesh.
Oh.
And I think every Bangladeshian has high arsenic levels. And if that virus gets into the Bangladesh community, and this is an arsenic-based problem, you may see that 15 to 17% people passing on ratio. It may be much higher.
Much higher. Well, I've been eating quite a bit of organic brown rice pasta from a friend of mine in Italy in the last few years. So, and we're going to do a We've already sent the hair test in, So we'll see if I'm high in arsenic. We'll find out how much arsenic is in brown rice in Italy, right?
Well, Italy is the second largest producer of rice, I believe, if I read that right just the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
An article came out in, I get this, anybody can go to this, Eureka Alert, and I go to it every day, and they have some of the best of the articles in about every magazine in the scientific world, and they found a new form of sulfur arsenic in rice. Arsenic is attaching to sulfur.
What does that mean?
And they're saying, well, we now know how to test rice for a new form of sulfur that we never thought was in the rice. And I'm reading this article, and I'm looking at it, and, you know, it's describing the whole process of arsenic in the rice. And I'm going, timely thing to read, the arsenic in the rice. And then a country thinking that the arsenic levels are going to be high.
Yeah.
A virus that's, you know, making a lot of people ill in a part of the country that lives primarily on rice.
Yeah. What, Eureka Alert?
EurekaAlert.org.
Well,
EurekaAlert.org. I've been going to that website for the past 15 years, and I just click on it, and it just gives you a headline, and then there's an article. If the headline grabs your attention, you can read it.
Pretty good stuff. So peer-reviewed.
I copied and saved it just to kind of keep my own little library of stuff that I've read.
Pretty good stuff, though. Peer-reviewed stuff and studies.
They have all kinds of stuff. In just the past 3 days, there's been 4 articles on vitamin D deficiency. One was, if you're vitamin D deficiency when you're pregnant, your children are more likely to be ADD and ADHD.
Wow.
The other one was, if you're postmenopausal and you're vitamin D deficient, you're more than likely going to get disc deterioration of your lumbar spine, you know, the aging process. They have all kinds of stuff on there. And I pick and choose what I read. And I've seen in the past 2 years, more and more and more articles are some form of a microbiome of the human body, whether it's the microbiome of your mouth, how it changes from cigarette smoke and chewing tobacco, to the microbiome of the sinuses harboring fungus. Your lungs have a microbiome. And every time they turn around, there's just more and more articles coming about how the microbiome, it affects our biology.
We're just a big bag of bugs, aren't we?
We're a big bag of bugs.
We're just a big bag of bugs.